some studies online. Conservative Theological University can help. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact, name, and number for the admissions office to reach out to you. Your first course is free. Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that you've joined Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. We're talking about an Islamicized America. What should we think? How should we respond if we see that we're on the fast track of having an Islamic nation? Can you imagine Islamic America? Can you imagine Islamic Sharia law and not constitutional law? Can you imagine what it would be like if city after city after city across America, the few Christians that would survive or remain would have to tolerate the 5 times a day from the prayer towers being screamed out in Arabic, praying to Allah? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says mobs in India destroy Christian homes after believers refuse to renounce Jesus and submit to Islam. Article reads about 25 believers, 4 families, and 2 other individuals were confronted by a mob on January the 11th and told to renounce their faith, according to the report from Christian Solidarity Worldwide. The mob of about 20 fellow villagers had proceeded to destroy 4 of their homes. When the Christian asked the police in the village to assist them, the police not only declined, but sided with the mob. The officer in charge threatened the Christian families, questioning their decision to embrace Christianity as members of the tribal community, warning that their unique identity cards, ration supplies, would be canceled. January the 14th, authorities questioned the pastor, banning him from visiting any households in the community. The Christian families had no choice but to remain in their destroyed homes. This article reads, "It is deeply concerning to witness the grave and unacceptable assault and humiliation of these families that have been subjected to because they are Christians and not Islamics." Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, that's in India. Then we talk about what's happening in Nigeria. Then we talk about the fact that Christians are being slaughtered by the hundreds of thousands in other parts of the world. And you think that somehow, some way, we are insulated when we have the openness in our governmental system that allows an Islamic jihadist that's anti-American, anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian to be placed in an office, and even if they swear an oath to support the Constitution of the United States of America, they do not do it. Let me just read you a brief paragraph from February issue of Decision Magazine that I think is fitting. Will man-centered religion and philosophies rule the world? Thank God we have the Holy Bible, universal truth for all people, for all times. regardless of the culture, ethnicity, policies, and socioeconomic status, we have the Bible. In part, this is what Franklin Graham said. New York City Democratic Socialist Mayor Zohan Mamdani was officially sworn in as the office in New York. Attorney General Letitia James swore him in at midnight in the ceremony. Accompanied by the family members, Mamdani solemnly placed his hand on a Quran, not the Holy Bible. During the swearing-in ceremony, the 34-year-old becomes the first Muslim mayor of the Big Apple, and as such, the first New York City mayor to be sworn in using the Quran. This unprecedented occasion for our nation's cultural and economic hub marks a crossroads for our country, whose pledge is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For example, Mamdani's religion, Islam, teaches that martyrdom for Allah can guarantee special place in paradise. The God of the Bible, however, came to the earth himself to die for sinners like you and me, so that through faith alone in his sacrificial death and victorious resurrection, we could know our eternity is sealed with him. Franklin Graham further says, Islam and Christianity could not be more at odds with each other. Islam demands a pride-filled and self-serving quest to earn or prove one's worthiness to Allah by martyrdom. Christianity is marked by a call to humility, repentance, surrender to the one who shed his blood and sacrificially gave his life for a new life for us who were already condemned by our sins against the one true, holy, righteous God. As a political, spiritual fault line widens across our nation, we must continue standing on the unshakable truths of God's Word. Further, he states in this article, the 19th century evangelist Dwight L. Moody aptly said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Don't be deceived. There's only one true God and one true faith." Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have summarized it better myself. Franklin Graham sees the handwriting on the wall. Franklin Graham sees the danger that America is in. And when you have one that stands before a crowd, stands before a mic and a TV camera, and swears an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, and yet he has an obligation to submit and surrender to Allah and all that the Quran says, it is an impossibility to bifurcate that oath. It's an impossibility to make an oath to swear an oath to uphold the Constitution and the laws of America, and ladies and gentlemen, still say that he's Islamic. Islam comes first. His allegiance is to Allah and not to the God of the Bible. His allegiance is to the Quran and what it says and not what the laws, the Constitution says, United States of America. I'm looking at headline says, the candidate, a Muslim candidate, refutes the promise and says, Muslims will control American government. We have the best we can offer in the United States, not only in Michigan, but across the country. And we offered our best. The best is yet to come. I can be very confident when I tell you that we are on the road to the White House, to Congress, to the decision-making everywhere in the United States of America. He added this, 40 years ago, we had a mayor of this town, talking about New York, who talked about the Arab problem. Guess what? The Arabs are now running Dearborn, Michigan, and Dearborn Heights. So, brothers and sisters, we're on the road to control American government, end quote. Now, listen, if your enemy tells you what they're going to do, you need to believe it. If the enemy says we're going to control America, you need to believe that that's their goal, that's their aim, that's their ambition, that's their modus operandi, and their plan completely. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Do you believe that we need to say something, do something? Is it all right for an Islamic jihadist to run for office be elected and be sworn in to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, and yet there is a bifurcation of his allegiance. It's an impossibility to have an open, truthful, honest allegiance to America and an allegiance to Islam, which are totally contradictory. Here's one that I believe is making the right decision. Sponsoring terror? Governor calls on Attorney General to withdraw the Council on American Islamic Relations tax-exempt status. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, already has declared the Council on American Islamic Relations to be pro-Islamic lobbying and activist organization as a foreign terrorist organization. He now wants the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, to go through a legal process that would end up with CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, losing its tax-exempt status in the state. Abbott already has called on the federal investigators of CARE, asking Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent to move against the group's tax exemption benefits because of its alleged terrorist ties. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just for you, a little background history lesson, the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Brotherhoods were all viewed as being unindicted co-conspirators in the 2006, 7, 8, and 9 Holy Land Foundation front that was domiciled in Texas, that was collecting money to be sent to ISIS and Hamas and other Islamic terrorists back in the Middle East, and were a total lie, total front. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we're faced with a problem today, and that is where you find the Islamic candidates running for office and wanting to be a chameleon to say, okay, we'll swear the oath to uphold the Constitution, and at the same time, not willing to do so, not desiring to do so. Before we take our calls, I want to start on an article. Reads this way. Recently, the elected mayor of New York swore his oath for the New York public offices on the Quran. He is the latest of many Islamic politicians who have sworn on the Quran instead of the Bible in non-Islamic countries. In the U.S., it would be Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, and Keith Ellison. Swearing in on the Quran constitutes multiple ethical, moral, and potentially legal issues for American citizens. Islamic's primary doctrine is composed of three texts, the Quran, the Shura, and the biographies, which are the biographies of Muhammad, and the Hadith, which are Muhammad's musings and sayings. These texts are the foundation of the Islamic primary doctrine that all Muslims, listen, hear me well, that all Muslims must obey. And then this writer goes on with some quotes from the Hadith and from the Quran and from the other text of the Islamic belief system. A whole collection of the Hadiths, the Musings and Sayings collection about Muhammad is dedicated to oaths. In fact, it is called the Book of Oaths. The entire first chapter, and then called the prohibition, listen, the prohibition of swearing by something other than Allah. And it goes on to give them. And one that is called in the 1646 section 4, I did not take an oath, anyone except Allah, since I heard Allah's messenger forbidding it. Another section, our Allah, the exalted and majestic, has forbidden you that you take any oath by your father. He who begged to take an oath, he must take it to Allah alone. This article reads then, this means that swearing an oath is possible only by Allah and nothing more and nothing less. There are multiple hadiths confirming it, and the above mentioned one just a small section. While Islamic scholars discuss it is permissible to take an oath on a physical print of the Quran, but not adhering to anything other than what it says. I've got other statements in this massive article. Ladies and gentlemen, 904-831-0917. Does this alarm you? I pray that it does. I believe Jay's on the line. Jay, go over the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Brother Youngblood, I just wanted to stand with you on what you're saying. this has got to be one of the greatest concerns for Christians especially and Americans that we are ever going to face. Now, I'm a man in my early 70s, so I'm looking for the rapture of the church or my death, which is going to take me to heaven. But nonetheless, I believe that what you're saying is so important, and people need to heed the warning. I was listening to a podcast this morning by Virgil Walker, who cited this starting in New York City when they opened this situation up to the folks in New York City with the call for the Muslims to be able to go to their worship service. And I went to Dearborn about 15 years ago for a funeral, totally unknowing of walking into. We were astonished at the speed limit signs and all the road signs in both languages, Arabic. You could hear the calling out from the mosque telling the people to come to worship. It is so omnipresent in America right now, it's unbelievable. I most recently went to Paterson, New Jersey, and I can tell you, it's the same thing that's burgeoning up there as well. It's not as evolved as Dearborn is. And then we've seen what's happened with Epic. Fortunately, we have Christian leaders with Abbott in Texas that have apparently squashed this 400-acre Sharia law-oriented situation. So, brother, sound the alarm like you're doing. What you're saying is absolutely unbelievable, and people need to listen to everything you're saying because it is a tragedy towards Christians especially. And we're going to be persecuted if this thing continues, and we've let it slip in. We've let it come in through the elected officials. And with the birth rates of these folks, we're going to see that they're going to slowly slip in. They get 1%, 5%, 10%, and all of a sudden they've got all their people voting them in for office. And that's what's happening right now. So thank you very much for everything you're doing. You are a blessing, Father. You are a blessing to all of us that believe exactly as you do. So thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jay, for your call. You're spot on with what you're saying. It is my prayer that people hear and heed. And then the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. How should we then live, as Ezekiel 33:10 says? And I believe the way we should live as Christians is to be salt and light. Then we stand up, we speak up, we get out of the shaker, we come out from under the bed and out of the closet, and our voices need to be heard today as never before in America. I believe Greg is on the line. Greg happens to be in Israel. Greg, speak to us for a moment.
Well, I just wanted to have a kind of a hit-and-run moment from the other side of the planet. We're in the Holy Land. I'm here with Dr. James K. Tommy Pierce, and we've taken a tour with this gentleman. He's been over here 25 times. We find ourselves on the shore of the Sea of Galilee in a little town called Magdala. And it's a beautiful place, and we find that there's right outside our door a synagogue from the first century, and it's neat to reflect on the fact that Jesus himself could have come through here and sat down among the fishermen and others in the little village of Magdala and read from the scrolls and taught. And we've been out on the Sea of Galilee. We went to Nazareth today. We've been to the Golan Heights, and I want to look Brother Tommy, share with you just a minute here.
All right, thank you, Greg.
Dr. Youngblood, it is good to be able to get with you today. There's some interesting things happening in the country right now, and though we are from the States, there was a sense of real unease today while we were in Nazareth. The military jets were continually doing their exercises there, and all the horns in the streets got silent. And it just got as quiet as it could be for about an hour and a half there. It made us start scratching our heads a little bit and wait to see if there was anything going on.
Say, Lord, beat me up.
We are having a great time. We're learning a lot. We're seeing a lot. The synagogue here at Magdala is right at the end of the path that would have come from Nazareth where Jesus came through. And you'll remember in the scripture, it says Jesus taught in the synagogues round about the Sea of Galilee. So it's most likely that he taught in the synagogues just outside where we're staying. And we've been able to go over there and see and just get a picture of what it must have been like in that day and that time.
Well, Brother Tommy, I am thankful that you have taken a moment to speak to us about that. I am envious of where you are. I'm thankful that you're there. Thankful for the privilege of Greg has sent several photographs and some video footage of that. It's a blessing to hear you. It's a blessing to see what you're doing. And I'm thankful for you and for your group. And it's my prayer that there'll be inspiration, education, and a challenge in the hearts and the lives of each one that's visiting with you there in the Holy Land, that it will change the dynamics of their thought, their motivation, and what they do in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, in the recognition that our days are numbered, that the time is short, that the rapture is near, and we all need to be ready. So, brother, thank you so much for you taking a moment.
Well, thank you for letting us share with you today.
It's a blessing. Thank you, and God bless you.
From Magdala, Israel, bless you all. Love you much.
Thank you so much, Greg. God bless you. Love you. Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that was one of our four sons, and a pastor friend in his church from the southern tip of heaven up in the northeast portion of Tennessee that Greg calls the southern tip of heaven. Thankful that they took a moment to call. It's good to hear from them and know what is taking place and how God is working in hearts and lives. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. A person who practices Islam that places their hand on a Quran and takes an affirmation or an oath to defend the United States Constitution, because remember, federal supremacy trumps state law, so when you are a representative, you affirm that you're going to defend the Constitution. They're actually practicing taqiyya, because the First Amendment states freedom of religion there. One of the tenets of Islam, and the worst thing that you can do as a follower of Muhammad, is reject his faith in any shape, way, or form. Remember that you must promote Islam, the Shahada, and Muhammad as number one, first and foremost. Any rejection of that faith, it actually calls for, in multiple surahs, death. It's literally the death penalty for a follower of Islam to reject his faith. So
absolutely,
they're practicing taqiyya.
Yeah, taqiyya is exactly what they're doing. I'm going to read a portion of an article. It's by Sheikh Mustafa that is an Islamic scholar. And what he says, the article headline says, "Can you take an oath by the Quran?" It's permissible to take an oath by the Quran. Goes on to say, "In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to Allah, and peace and blessings upon his messenger in this fatwa," F-A-T-W-A. No, you can only take an oath to Allah and nothing else. Take an oath to anything else, such as the Quran or any other document. The Prophet is sinful and non-binding on any Muslim. And it's just exactly as you said. There is the fact that they will say one thing and do another, because under the, if you please, the laws of the Quran, they are honored by Allah to lie and carry out deceit if the end result is getting you to believe and to follow and to embrace what they're saying. And it goes further. The messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, "Whosoever takes an oath must take it by Allah alone." The messenger of Allah, a group of writers had taken an oath by their father. The messenger of Allah called them, saying, "Verily, Allah, the most exalted and majestic, forbids you from taking any oath. The principle is that taking an oath by any other than Allah is unlawful according to all that is said in the Quran, because of taking an oath, one expresses reverence to the one by whom the oath is taken, and none beside Allah is worthy of any reverence or any oath." Now, I could read and read and read and read further. I could read dozens and dozens and dozens of the surahs out of the Quran, directly from the Noble Quran, which is the most revered reading of the Quran by any of the Islamic scholars. But it is simply put, it is an impossibility to take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution or the laws of America and to still be an Islamic. What say you, Jim?
I would agree with that statement. The practice of taqiyya, it goes back to the 7th century. I could go through example after example after example. And I'm not talking just one or two individuals there. I could give you an example in history in 1499 where Ferdinand and Isabella had a problem with 400,000 individuals in a region called Granada where they practiced Taqiya there. And when Mehmet went after Istanbul or Constantinople, they rose up, even though they professed Christianity, they rose up and sacked churches and killed pastors, preachers, and nuns throughout the whole of southern Spain. So this is not a new thing here. It's just another tool in their box that allows them to get what they want via any and all means necessary there. It's a terrible, terrible... it's a deception.
It is a total deception. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from a mega article of my research about the oath of office and what it connotes and what it does not. It says, a political figure swearing an oath to the office if he hold allegiance to another cause or nation or religious belief that are in contradiction to the U.S. Constitution. Then it states, the oath of office, a federal and state office swears affirms to support and defend the Constitution, not a political party or religion or foreign power. The oath the office requires support to defend the Constitution, to bear true and faith and allegiance to it, and faithfully discharge the duties of the office. Quote, listen, it does not require the renouncing of any religious or other political beliefs, end quote. Now, I just made a note on this research article. Wow. Yet the Quran, the Muslim is to take any oath, if they take any oath in America, which contradicts the Quran, they will be absolutely, condemned by Allah. And yet we have those thinking, well, it must be okay. And by the way, Jim, I believe it was either 1960 or 61, your Supreme Court ruled that you do not have to take the oath on the Bible. And yet we find those today that are Islamic jihadists coming in and they are destroying our nation. They're saying yes to that. I'm looking at another article that says, yes, an oath to public office taken on the Quran is valid in the United States as the Constitution states that no religious test shall be required for holding office. This means officials can choose to swear on any text and include the Quran during the ceremonial reenactment of the oath of office. Jim, I'm concerned. I don't know if people can hear the urgency in my voice. I'm concerned for where we're going in America. I believe that we're witnessing the decay of the church. We're witnessing the great falling away that the Bible talks about, the apostasy. And in the same percentage rate that we see the falling away, we're seeing the increase of the Islamic jihadists coming in an incremental fashion to control the United States of America. Jim, thank you so much for your call. We need to keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that we brought enough information today for you to be concerned. So you ask the question, what can we do? We need to pray, keep looking up, recognize our redemption draweth nigh. But in the interim, we need to be salt and light in a dark and decaying society, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester